Welcome back to D&B College. Today we're building something very specific. A pirate signal jungle pad drift in Ableton Live 12. Think of it as a hazy, detuned, broadcast-style atmospheric layer that feels like it's floating through old-school jungle fog while the drums and bass stay in command. This is not about making a huge cinematic pad that takes over the whole track. It's about making atmosphere with attitude. Something weathered. Something unstable. Something that feels human. Sampled, and slightly broken in the best possible way. This kind of sound works beautifully in intros, breakdowns, halftime tension bars, and transition moments. You can also tuck it quietly under a drop, if you want that haunted background pressure, without stealing focus. And that balances the whole game here. If it's too clean, it feels generic. If it's too wide or too wet, it eats the kick, the snare, and the sub. So we're going for murky, musical, and controlled. The best place to start is with a vocal source that already has character. A short phrase, a spoken fragment, a radio-style line, or even a held vowel works really well. Keep it simple. Strong formants, a narrow emotional shape, and enough identity that it still feels like a transmission after processing. You do not need a full lyric here. In fact, less is better. A single syllable can be more powerful than a whole sentence. Drop that sample onto a new audio track and trim it to a clean, interesting section. Warp it so it sits in time, but don't overcorrect it. A little irregularity is your friend. That slight human drift is part of the old-school jungle energy. If the sample is pitched, choose something that sits comfortably in your track key. If it's more spoken than sung, lean into the vowel texture and let the formants do the work. Why this works in D&B is simple. Old school jungle and a lot of dark D&B get their emotion from contrast. Hard drums, heavy sub, and then this unstable, memory-like atmosphere hanging over the top. A vocal-based pad gives you identity without demanding full lead attention. Now start shaping it with stock Ableton devices. Keep it simple and effective. First, put an auto filter on it and low pass the top end somewhere around 500Hz to 2.5 kHz, depending on how bright the source is. Then add a saturator with just a gentle curve. You're usually only looking for a few dB of drive, not destruction. After that, use reverb with a small to medium room or hall, and keep the decay somewhere around 1.5 to 4 seconds. Finally, use EQA to clean up the low mud and any harsh upper mids. The point here is not to make it lush right away. It's to make it sound like it's been through an old transmitter, a worn tape path, or some kind of pirate radio relay. You want a sound that feels discovered, not polished. And keep the low end under control from the start. High pass it around 120 to 250 Hz depending on the material. If the pad starts fighting the bass, it loses its job immediately. What to listen for here is the body of the sample smoothing out while the vowel edges or consonant texture still give it shape. If the reverb turns it into fog too early, shorten the decay or reduce the wet mix before moving on. You want atmosphere, not blur. Now comes the drift. This is where the pad stops sounding like a loop and starts sounding like a signal moving through space. One way to do it is to duplicate the processed audio and pitch one layer up or down by a few semitones, then filter that layer harder. Another way is to resample the processed result into a new audio file and warp that new file a little more loosely. A great starting setup is two layers. The first layer is your main body, kept darker and more recognizable. The second layer is your ghost layer, pitched maybe plus 7 to plus 12 semitones, or down 5 to 12 semitones, and then filtered aggressively so it only adds haze and motion. Don't let both layers be full range. One should carry the emotional identity. The other should carry the shimmer, the weirdness, the pirate signal feel. If you want more instability, automate tiny pitch movement over time. A few cents here and there, or a very slow semitone slide over several bars, can be enough. If you want it more degraded, commit the resample and warp it again with a looser feel. That's how you get that tape-worn drift instead of a clean synth pad. At this point, there's a useful decision to make. If you keep the source more musical and haunting, you get something better for atmospheric intros and emotional breakdowns. If you resample harder, pitch more, and filter more aggressively, you get a darker pirate radio result that's perfect for gritty intros and damaged transitions. Both are valid. The choice depends on the role you wanted to play in the arrangement. Now let's talk groove, because this is the real blueprint. Instead of forcing the pad to sit on a rigid grid, use Ableton's groove pool to make it feel connected to the drums. That's huge in jungle and old-school D&B. A lot of the feel in these records comes from sampled rhythmic movement. Even when the atmosphere isn't percussive, it often feels like it belongs to the same rhythmic machine as the break. Open the groove pool and apply a groove with noticeable but not extreme swing. Keep it subtle at first. You just want the pad to lean a little behind or ahead of the grid, not wobble around uncontrollably. If your brake has swing, borrow some of that character. If your drums are straighter, keep the pad only slightly behind the beat. One important detail here, if your pad is a long, sustained note, groove won't do much unless there are actual clip events. So split it into phrases, swells, or chop chunks, half bar pieces, one bar pieces, two bar pieces. Then groove becomes audible, and the pad starts breathing with the arrangement instead of sitting on top of it. What to listen for now is whether the pad leans with the break. It should feel like it belongs to the same pocket. If it starts fighting the snare, reduce the groove depth or shorten the phrases. The goal is movement, not friction. Next, build movement with envelopes, not just reverb. Use auto filter automation or clip envelopes to create slow swells and hollowing motion. A really effective move is to open the low pass from around 800 Hz up to 3 to 6 kHz over 1 to 4 bars, then close it back down. Keep resonance modest. You want a vocal edge, not a whistle. You can also automate reverb wetness so it blooms at the ends of phrases, then pulls back. If you're using two layers, make them work against each other. Let the main layer open while the ghost layer ducks slightly, then reverse it. That keeps the pad alive without constantly adding more level. And here's a good workflow tip. Once the motion feels right, print it, freeze it, flatten it, or resample it. In DNB, this matters a lot, because arrangement decisions get much faster when you're editing audio instead of endlessly tweaking a device chain. Don't be afraid to commit. That's where the personality gets locked in. Now bring the drums and bass in early. Don't design the pad in a vacuum. This is where people often go wrong. A pad can sound beautiful in solo and still completely ruin the track. Check it against the break and the sub as soon as you have the basic chain in place. Ask yourself a few key questions. Does it steal the snare's upper body? Does it mask the bass movement around 80 to 200 Hz? Does it feel like momentum or drag? If the kick and snare are strong, the pad should sit behind them. If it's too busy in the drop, automate a stronger filter move so it changes role between sections. A strong arrangement approach is to let the pad run alone for 4 to 8 bars, then bring in the break and bass, then thin the pad out when the drop needs more punch. On a second drop, you can bring it back in a more degraded version so the track evolves without losing identity. That's a very jungle way to think. Same idea, different damage. If you want extra grit, add one controlled distortion stage, but don't overdo it. Use saturator or overdrive as a character move, not as a punishment. You want worn, not destroyed. A clean tension bed chain might be auto filter, saturator, EQ8, reverb. A more degraded pirate drift chain might be redux or saturator, auto filter, a very subtle delay, reverb, then EQ8. If the source is already dense, a little drive goes a long way. And if you add delay, keep it really low and sparse, just enough to smear phrase edges. The idea is movement and age, not obvious echo. If the pad starts taking up too much emotional space, stop. Commit it to audio and start subtracting. Indeed, NB, the atmosphere is strongest when it leaves the hook room to breathe. For phrasing, think in 4, 8, and 16 bar chunks. That gives the pad a proper DJ-friendly structure. A strong shape might be a filtered drift for the first 8 bars, then drums and sub enter while the pad stays narrow, then the pad opens a little for tension, then it drops out or mutates into a ghost layer before the drop. That kind of structure gives you journey without making the track awkward to mix. If the section feels static, change one thing every 4 or 8 bars. Cut off, reverb size, layer balance, stereo width. Just one move at a time. That's often enough to keep the listener engaged without turning the arrangement into a sound design demo. Now, one of the biggest checks, mono compatibility. Because this blueprint leans on drift, reverb, and stereo atmosphere, it can get messy fast. Keep anything below roughly 150 to 200 Hz out of the wide layer. Use utility if you need to narrow the stereo field on the body. Don't let the reverb wash into the subzone. If the pad sounds amazing in stereo but disappears in mono, it's too dependent on width. What to listen for in mono is simple. The pad should lose some glamour, but not its identity. If it vanishes completely, the core texture is too side-heavy. The emotional center has to survive the collapse. One more coach-level habit that really helps. Check the pad against the snare first, not the whole mix. If the snare loses its crack or bay when the pad comes in, you probably have too much upper mid density around 1.5 to 4 kHz, or too much reverb tail crossing the hit. Also, compare the pad in short loops against the actual break and bass, not against silence. Context reveals problems much faster. At some point, you need to stop designing and start printing. That's important. Make a cleaner version, a darker version, and a more degraded version if you have time. In the session, label them by function, not by sound design detail. Intro bid, drop ghost, break down haze. That way you choose by arrangement purpose, not by attachment to the sound you spent the most time on. If you want to push this even further, make the pad change role as the track progresses. Let it begin as a signal being discovered. Then let it become support. Then let it fade into memory. Start filtered and partially hidden. Open it over 4 to 8 bars, and then pull it back down before the drop. That little air gap before a drop can make the impact feel much bigger.